So from the parable of the tares and the wheat, just take away as we get ready, because this parable, I've changed the order. I'm going to get back in order here in a bit. I changed the order a little bit because the next parable that we're going to be looking at is kind of similar along the same vein. Judgment's coming. Don't freak out. Judgment's coming. Yep. Judgment is coming. And one of the things, and I shared this with the inmates today as we were looking at the wheat and the tares, just that last summary, is there's the obvious tares that we saw in Romans 1 and 2. I mean, you know, from homosexuality to, you know, uncleanness, gossiping, you know, that's, you know, you hang in there long enough, you'll find yourself on the list. So just be careful judging. Absolutely, keep reading. And the other part of that is the hidden tares. And it's just kind of scary. Scribes and Pharisees, which are church folk, and just you can get so caught up in the knowledge of the Lord that you get caught up in that thorny soil, and the things of the world just kind of mess you up. You lose your perspective, and your mind's not in a good place, and you don't know it. And he just calls out hypocrites. And, you know, as I was looking at this morning, there's the obvious hypocrites. Like, you know, you don't practice what you preach. The obvious hypocrites, you know. You teach against adultery, and yet you're an adulterer. I mean, that's the obvious, obvious hypocrites. But then you got those that subtle, and that we'll miss them. We talked about it last time. I don't want to talk about it a lot today, where you're a hypocrite and you don't really know it because it doesn't really seem that bad. It just seems right, but it's off.
You're deceived.
Because you're deceived. And especially when we talked about last, especially when you get around politics. Oh, my God. You can, and you got to be careful because those things on the outside will cause you to move from the good soil to the thorny soil. And you still got the truth and the gospel and you know the word and you love the Lord, but now you're overcome by the things of the world, and all of a sudden that becomes your focus, and all of a sudden you become hypocritical. But you don't see it. Mm-hmm. And you get deceived. So just stay on the good ground. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. I love Matthew 23 that says, you know, you should not just pay your tithes, but you should not leave these other things under justice, mercy, faith. Remember that. Stick with that. All right. And I think you all know. I want to summarize this with. I think you all know my football example. Have I told it before? If I told a football example before, then it. Yeah. If I've told this before, then nod your head, and we'll move on to the next thing. All right. So, everybody knows I'm an Auburn fan. Have I told that one before? Okay. So I'm an Auburn fan. My kids went to Auburn. So technically, I'm an Auburn booster. And my first football game that I ever went to in the SEC was an Auburn game. Somebody gave me tickets to, you know. If Auburn picks up one, I know. If I told this before, please let me know. Okay. All right. Please come next week. Don't stop coming if you're an Auburn fan. Because if Auburn loses one more game and they get to the Iron Bowl and they've got no chance at all of getting to the playoff, and they play Alabama, Norm is looking at me like he's throwing all kinds of darts. I will probably be rooting for the Tide.
That's it for me. I'm out of here.
I know. now don't get me wrong. I still love Auburn, and I prefer Auburn. I prefer Auburn. And if they win, I will be happy. But I hope everybody understands, while I love Auburn, my perspective is higher because I'm looking at the state of Alabama. And if Auburn keeps a legitimate contender from going to the championship, I got to go with the team that's going to the championship. So, Roll Tide.
I got an anointing oil in my
pocket. All right, you keep going out, all right?
Well, it sounds like you're supposed to be an Alabama fan.
The only problem is
Alabama,
there are Alabama fans. those who have told me they don't want me in their camp. There are plenty of Alabama fans that told me they don't want that kind of support. You're either all in or you're not.
Well, so, you know, there's always going to be tears. Me and Auburn are not good with everybody. So we don't destroy all.
All right. So now we got something else going on here.
Hey, you got to watch now. Auburn may be the underdog, but they could win.
Well, if they ain't lined up, I ain't rooting for them. All right, so.
Now, RTR.
Yeah, I know. So, if Alabama picks up another loss but wins the SEC West, plays an undefeated Georgia team, all right, and if they beat Georgia, would knock Georgia out of the playoffs, guess who I'm rooting for? Georgia. Because while I'm a Auburn fan, my perspective is higher because I'm for the state of Alabama. But I'm also I'm an SEC fan.
Right.
Because I at least want to be able to tell everybody my team lives in the greatest conference there is.
I'll tell you, you're
brave.
Chuck, you're too warm.
You're
too warm. So my perspective. So I'm using this as an example. This is my parable. So my parable is I'm looking at it from a higher perspective. And when we. Well, now, come on, Sandra. The higher perspective, from a Christian perspective, what does rooting for the SEC look like? It's about Christ. So I don't want to get caught up. I got my preference, but I don't want my preference to override the higher good. Now, this has got nothing to do with football or whatever, you know. Hey, if somebody wants to be diehard Alabama, that's fine. But I'm looking at this from a different perspective. So when you take that parable, we got to be careful that we don't lose the perspective of how God sees this when we get in our stovepipes, and that becomes more important than the things of God.
Right. That's like denominational titles?
Pardon me?
I've been
in so many churches that said, oh, we don't know, if you're not a member here, you may not be saved. Okay, so you are so caught up in your Auburn, Alabama framework, I understand you love that, but when you miss the greater focus, then you're off. And you become, hypocrite from a kingdom perspective. All right. Don't worry about what other people think. So I get around this by saying I'm a Syracuse fan, which I am. And they just suck, so I just, they pull one out. All right. So here's the takeaway as we get ready to go into the new parable. I just want to make sure everybody's there because we lose our mind over some of this stuff. Football fake, you know. Though I did hear that there was an Auburn fan who got shot by an Alabama fan because they when Alabama lost. So, come on, I don't have to worry about that in this class, but I mean, it gets crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
LSU fans, I heard, are even the worst because. Yeah. All right. Anyway, okay. I got something in the chat here. Let me make sure nobody. What is this? Be careful not to be a tear in the crimson wheat.
That's from Paul.
That's from Paul.
Paul. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Enough about wheat and tears. Is that why the Alabama fans don't want me because I'm a tear?
It is red wheat.
All right. The takeaway. Stay in the good ground. That's all I can tell you. Stay in the good ground. Be led by the Spirit. Stay in the good ground. All right. Follow the steps. Stay in the good ground. Okay. Here we go. Matthew chapter 13. Still in chapter 13. A lot of parables in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 52. The parable of the drawing in of the net. You like this one? No, amen. Okay. I'm going to read the scripture. It's there on the screen for you. Okay. And I got highlighted. Let's just identify what's happening in the natural first, and then we'll go from there. All right, so I'm going to read the whole parable, then we'll break it up later. All right, again, another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, big net, that was cast into the sea and gathered of many kinds, all right, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. All right, great big old net, catching all kinds of fish, bring it to the shore. They reject the old, the bad fish, keep the good fish. Mm-hmm. Simple, simple message. All right. Verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. Aha! Judgment's coming. So don't freak out. Judgment's coming. All right. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth. Aha! This is like the last parable. Stay in your lane. Don't be picking fish out before they come to shore. It's not our job to pick out the different fish. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Ooh, oh, I know. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's sad. And I've heard some commentators come back and say, well, the wailing and gnashing will be those people who are still righteous, 1 Corinthians 3, you know, still got the foundation of Christ, but they're just going to be so overwhelmed in their grief and realize, oh, I had it, but I missed it. I could have had more. I could have done more. I, you know, that could be gnashing of teeth. I ain't taking no chances. I'm going to do the gnashing of teeth being, you know, hell.
Mm-hmm.
Damnation. Boo. All right. Okay. Verse 51. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? He wants to make sure. Do you know what's going on with this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord, which means God wants us to make sure we understand this stuff. Verse 52. And then this is kind of like a sub-tag-along parable. So we're kind of hitting two parables at one time. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And that was a little confusing. So we're going to talk about it. So we've got two parables all in the one here. But these go to kind of here. So remembering a parable is a natural story. I highlight what's happening in the natural. So I did a little quick research of ancient fishing techniques. And this is what I came up with on the screen there. This is a very large net. The net is big. It's huge. So they get this big old net. They go out in the ship. And the ship takes one part of the net out into the water. And, you know, launches it out. You got some people still on the shore or whatever. And then they just start pulling this net in from where it's launched. All right? It's called drag netting. All right. It's weighted at the ends so that it can sink all the way down to the bottom. Anybody knows anything about fishing, you know, especially when it gets hot, you want to put some weight on that thing or whatever so that it can get down to where the fishes are. Especially if you like catfish. They're bottom dwellers. You got to get down.
I was just going to say, I used to do that very thing, except pulling two guys pulling a 50-footer.
Oh, so you
just
net fishing.
The lines all had weights on the bottom.
Damn.
We had to stretch it out and pull it, and all the good fish went right up.
No wonder you like this parable. Earl has lived the life. So let us know if there's something. Right, praise God, Earl. All right. Yeah. So it's weighted. All right. And now, I guess, Earl, I refer to you. You don't pick out the fish before you pull the net in.
Not hardly.
No.
We pull, and then what? But it's not right.
Right.
You know, especially if we're trying to separate good fish from, like, small ones. There's too many of them.
Right.
So you want to throw them, you know, bad fish.
Right. Got it. Okay. Got it. All right. There are men on the shore. who drag the net back to shore. So it launches out, and then they're dragging the net back to shore, because when you get them on the shore, that's where the separation comes in. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what happens in the natural. Jesus says there's a spiritual application here. So now we got to figure out the different items that are represented in this parable. What do they mean in the kingdom? So let's go a little bit. Oh, I got something here. Intent of drag fishing. It's to catch as many fish as possible. You're trying to catch everything now. You're trying to catch as many fish as possible. Got it? That should tell you right there spiritually what the net means. Trying to catch as many fish as possible. Yes. All right.
It's your minimum.
Yes. So the observation. This is just my observation. This type of fishing differs from the kind of fishing when I was growing up. Because I didn't grow up as a hunter. I grew up as a fisherman. My dad, our whole family loved fishing. And we would get bait for the type of fish that we wanted to catch. We were very selective. We want to know what the heck. Hey, pike, because that was a game fish up north. Bass, crappie.
Crappies.
So you wanted minnows, little, you know, minnows, things like that, or whatever, you know. Didn't like worms, though. Bass like worms, didn't like worms because you might get a catfish or whatever. We eat the catfish, but you know, not fishing for that. We're fishing for bass, crappie, and pike. That's it. Mm-hmm. Now, every now and then, a perch or panfish hit our line. Heaven help. Because my dad would get it and go, "You just wasted bait. That I you ate my bait. You just cost me a minnow." And he would slam the fish along the side of the boat and throw them in there and say, "You'll never bite my..." That's the penalty for biting my line. And he'd reject them right on the spot. Because we were fishing for certain types of fish. We were very selective. Alright? This parable is not selective at that point. It is bring everything in. We'll do the separation later. You see the difference between how I grew up fishing, alright, and how the kingdom fishes. Alright? And I got to be very careful that when I'm preaching and teaching the gospel, I don't preach and teach the gospel like I used to go fishing. It's not just for certain people. It's for, I'm trying to catch everybody. Even the tares. Mm-hmm. Trying to catch everybody. All right, here we go. All right. So, he gives the explanation. So it shall be at the end of the world. Angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Alright, so let's take a look at the interpretation of this parable. Let's see what the items and the roles represent. Alright, I like what Matthew Henry says. The net, according to Matthew Henry, is the gospel. The net is the gospel. It's being spread out to everybody. In fact, didn't Jesus say the end's not coming until this gospel has been preached to everybody? So I have no great revelation. I looked at the commentary and I kind of like what he says. The net represents the gospel, which is designed to bring everybody in. All right? Oh, in fact, I got Matthew 24:14 listed there. I didn't realize that. Okay, look at my notes. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. So it's almost just like the parable. We don't do the separation until the net has been cast and it starts to slowly be drawn back to shore. When it finally makes it back to shore, time's up. Is that what's happening now? Has the net been cast? And is it slowly starting to be drawn in?
I'm thinking so.
So time is wind. It's a process. It's a process. So time is winding down.
Ooh.
And judgment's coming.
Yep.
So don't freak out. Just keep fishing. Just keep pulling. Just keep pulling. All right. All right. And the fish are the people of the world. It's like the wheat and tares. So you got good fish, and you got bad fish. You got clean fish, you got unclean fish. Got it. All right. Who are the people pulling the nets to shore? All right. Again, I went to Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry says, these are the ministers of the gospel who serve as fishermen.
Aren't
we all
ministers?
We're all fishermen.
Fisher of men.
We're supposed to be.
Oh, see, Sandra just said it. Isn't that what Jesus said? I will make you
fishers
of men. Which means the fish are the men. The process is the same. We're just fishing for different stuff. Fishing for souls. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh. And we all have that responsibility to help pull in the net. Okay. Everybody got some work to do in the kingdom. All right. The angels serve as the ones who separate and clean the catch. All right. Now, that's consistent with my experience at fishing. Let me tell you one thing I did not like to do when I went out fishing. I don't like cleaning them. I don't like cleaning fish. Mom used to go out fishing too, but we did mom wrong. Because mom would clean the fish.
Especially the one with the scales on.
Man, well, you know, this is before I learned how to fillet.
Oh.
Before my dad learned how to fillet fish, man, you go down in the basement, you got scales all over the place. Oh, God, and catfish? Good gracious. Got to get the pliers and peel the skin off and all the rest of that. Man, just thank God for filet and filet night.
Hey, Chuck, my dad had a way that had a board going across and he'd hang the catfish there.
Yeah.
Take him and cut around his head.
Cut around the head.
And then take pliers.
That's it. Yeah, same thing.
That's the way you do it.
Just pull it down. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, I don't like that. I like catching them. I don't like cleaning them. All right? Well, praise the Lord. It ain't my job to clean them.
Nope.
All I got to do is catch them and teach them. That's all. Catch them and teach them. That's the Lord to clean them. Amen. All right. That's the job for the angels. Okay, so here's our application. One, is judgment coming? Yes, it is. Judgment coming. I'll tell you just a quick parable. When the nets are full, the judgment will be around the corner. Today, the net is continuing to fill up as the gospel is being preached around the world. If you don't think the gospel is being preached around the world, look at the internet. Look at the web. I mean, you can pick up, the gospel is all over the place. Yes, ma'am.
You keep saying judgment is coming. Don't you think judgment is already here? It's beginning? We're under judgment now?
Yes.
Not full fledged, but
there you go. Well,
we're under judgment now.
Well, when you look at Romans 1 again, what we talked about last week, Paul even says this, that God is allowing some things to happen, turn them over to a reprobate mind, because that's part of the judgment that they're living right now.
Right.
Yeah. As again, and that's that judgment. You can call it prejudgment if you want to or whatever, but that's that warning shot, because God is so, judgment's coming, but it's already here in some way, shape, or form or whatever, there's a bigger or greater
judgment
on the way.
But he's still trying to get our attention.
Because we don't listen.
Because we're still turned away from him.
And so he's trying to, how long is he going to allow, how long are we going to go before these guys finally get it? Let me allow this. He is patient. Yeah. Not willing that any
should
it all should come to repentance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even though he knows everybody won't, he's still we're without excuse. And then again, you look back to the Old Testament, because I love the Old Testament. I keep thinking about the walls of Jericho.
Yep.
He could have took that out on day one. He waits till day seven. Yep. And all that time, those 6 days, they're under judgment.
Right.
But the greater judgment was on the way.
I was just reading in Micah the other day, and he sent his prophet Micah.
Yeah.
And Micah told him like three times.
It's coming.
You know, what God was going to do.
Right.
I mean, three times before they ever really got the message.
Well, here we are.
Exactly.
We've known judgment is coming.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need a reminder, and we've seen things happening in the world, in our country or whatever. It's, all right, don't freak out.
That's right, don't freak out.
It's supposed to happen. It's coming.
That just makes Satan work harder.
Well, he works harder when he sees the end.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because the gospel is being spread across the world, but church attendance is down. Because he works harder too.
God's going to bring lost souls, 2 billion lost souls.
Okay.
The whole world. Mm. 2 billion souls.
2 billion souls.
Will
be saved.
Is revival is coming?
Oh, yeah, revival is coming. I got you. Well, praise the Lord. We need revival.
But the hope I found in Micah, after all of it, was God will always have his remnant. He will always gather his remnant.
And you know what the remnant is supposed to do?
To continue on.
Keep dragging in the net. Keep throwing the net, dragging in the net. And it's also a testimony of God's grace and mercy.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Amen. So there you go in the Old Testament. And you know how I am. I'm all over that. And we're in the New Testament. You even went back to the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. All right. Here we go. I know I was on top of something when I was on it. All right. It does connect. All right. There's no discrimination. Just some points here. There's no discrimination. Everybody jumps in the net. Do I keep LGBT, whatever, Q? Do I keep them out of the net? I do not pick them out of the net. Just love them into the. Come on down into the net. Come on to the net. Yes, love, just break that. I do not discriminate, and I do not do them like my dad used to use jack perch and panfish.
Beat them.
He does not beat them on that so that they never want to jump in the boat anymore. I used to feel sorry for the fish. He put up a jack perch that ate some of his precious bait or whatever, and I'd be like, oh God, you know. And he's like, I don't give you a headache. Bam! The boat. Fall off the hook, put them in the water. The fish is kind of laying on the ground in the water or whatever. I felt so bad, like eating up my good bait or whatever. I mean, you know,
why don't you just keep it and eat it?
A lot of people eat brim.
Pet perch.
After a while, we started keeping some of them because we knew some folk would just kind of put them out in the sun and let them, you know, sun dry and eat them.
Perch is good.
Not little bony. Not it ain't crappy.
What about brim?
Brim
that's sunfish?
Yeah. It's good, but
too bony. Hey, you gotta realize, son, this is before filet. This is before filet.
You cook filet, that
too. Well, we ain't know anything about filet back then.
Wait
a minute. Which leads us to the last parable about the householder, where you bring the old and the new in. If we just stuck with the old, we'd still be picking bones out of our teeth. Yes. Anybody ever get a fish bone stuck in their throat?
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord for the new.
Amen.
So yes. Anyway. So yeah, you bring the new in with the old. We're going to talk about that. I don't know if we're going to talk about it today, but we're going to talk about that. That old and new. We got it. Because some of us are old. And we like the old.
Yeah. Hello.
Amen. But you said you bring some of the new in with you don't discard the old. But you don't discard. Come on now, that worked together.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Look back there. They go old and new. There you go back to this. They're talking right now. But bring that together. All right.
Old, I said, but you got and then.
She's
going way back. She's trying to get me to take a computer course. I don't want to.
Moving on.
Complains about everything just so techy. I said, what's up?
You got to meet them where they are. All right.
Oh, you keep picking the bones out your throat. I'm not trying to keep up with all of it, but I didn't want to give up.
I said, just give me
your
phone, Mom. Give me
your
phone.
Well, there you go. Hey. And when you get older, somebody will be chewing your food and putting it in your mouth. So go and pick the bones out. There you go. You know, we revert back to, you know. Anyway, praise the Lord. Well, I ain't claiming that for me. Me either. I ain't claiming that.
All right.
Let's get back to the lesson. We done got. How you get a flaw, Al? All right. All right. No discrimination. You got Jews and Gentiles in the net. Get everybody in the net. Stop looking at people that don't look like us and looking all funny or whatever. Don't smell like this. Get you some Febreze and sit next to them and spray down. Come on now. Let's get them in the net.
Oh my goodness.
They didn't have that back then.
Where did they have that back then? Febreze?
Yeah.
Well, you got to bring the new in with the old. Bring the new in with the old. They got a little personalized thing too. You can just sit there and just kind of swoop, boop, do like that. Hell a little bit.
Put the mask on.
Put the mask on. Put the mask on. Social distance. Love them in the car. But you love them.
Oh my goodness.
You know how we've been.
All right.
Oh boy. Let no rejected people will face judgment. All right. While the net continues to draw close to the shore, Christians should be ensuring they are not counted as one of the wicked. That goes back to wheat and tares. We got to make sure that we are not hypocrites. We got to make sure as we're dragging them back in, that we are not separating as we are dragging in. Now, be careful now. That does not mean that I am condoning unrighteousness.
Right.
We just putting them in.
Because I should be letting them know, before you get to shore, you might want to clean up.
Yeah.
Because there is judgment coming. But I'm going to lovingly bring them in. Yeah. I have not always done that. I've looked at some folk and go, oh, I know you're going to hell. Or I've looked at some folk and I've judged them.
Yeah.
I'm staying in my lane. Everybody, come on in. But I got to teach you the truth once you get here. And I still respect your choice. You know, I marvel from these parables. This is the first time I've really talked to parables. I marvel at Jesus with Judas. Mm-hmm. I've never really understood the whole Jesus-Judas thing. So I started reading this parable. I'm like, you know, I think that's why he had Judas on his team. Because I'm going to tell you, I told this to the inmates today. If Jesus was Chuck, I would have Judas, but Judas would be catching hell. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'd be wearing Judas out. Boy, clean my drawers. Go ahead. I'd be gossiping about him. I'd be bringing the other disciples in. That dude is a rat and a sneak. Let me tell you that. Judas would just be catching from me.
That's why Jesus is God, you're not.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Because I'd be rolling Judas, and I sure would not have had him in charge of the money. He'd be in charge of the laundry.
He wouldn't have.
He would have been a part of the group.
No, he wouldn't have been. Wheat and tares.
Yeah.
He still loved
him. He
didn't agree with what was going on. Still loved him.
And he knew what he was going to do.
And knew what he was going to do.
He knew.
And he still loved him.
Yeah, still loved him.
So we can know the truth and discern the truth. But we still got to love him because Jesus always gave him the opportunity, even in the garden when he called him friend,
right,
to repent,
yeah,
and be a good fish. I get it now.
Wow.
Never saw it before, but I get it now. Just do the commandments. Stay in the good ground. Just love folk.
Love folk.
But don't love folk so much that you love the sin and now you stop loving God.
There you go.
Because this thing can get twisted the other way, which is what's happening.
Right.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Judgment's coming. And we do them a disservice when we know judgment is coming and all we tell them about is the love. Mm-hmm. And we don't tell them
You need to be careful.
Home story.
And then at the same thing, we got to watch ourselves to make sure we don't get entangled with the tares and the bad fish to the degree that we become hypocritical. So we got to watch. Okay. All right. We should not pick and choose who we share the gospel with. If that's when we should not be separating fish before the next. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So here's some other commentary observations. Just some observations I saw. All right. From the commentaries and some talking to some friends. One of my mentors, Charles McCray, I got his name in there as well because we talked about this. He taught this before I taught, and we just compared some notes. The world will remain divided until the end. So don't just, you know, I sit there, I scratch my head and go, really? 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 You really think that? Really? You really don't see that? Really? That is really your argument? Really? You really support this? Really? Just, it drives you nuts. And social media is, it made it even worse. And I'm like, you know, just, oh my God, there's so many crazy people out there. You think that? You really think there's no hell? It's not really hell. It's a garbage dump. It's somewhere outside of Jerusalem. Come on. Come on. I love you, but I can't roll like that. Really. It's not a source of contention because somebody that's weeping and gnashing their teeth, whether it's a real hell or make-believe hell or purgatory or whatever the heck it is, I don't want my teeth grinding.
I don't even want to find out.
I don't.
Man. I would get down there and be like, dang.
It's too late.
The time is right. So don't trip because people don't seem to have common sense. Oh, and the world is divided. I look at politics and I look, you know, man, y'all can't get this together for the sake of the people. You can't come together and be bipartisan for the sake of the people. That is amazing. I scratch my head. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
It ain't about the people.
It ain't about the people. It's about, no. So anyway, it's just, oh my God. But I don't freak out because the world is going to be divided. Everybody's not going to be on the same sheet of music, but judgment's coming.
That's right.
God knows. We know. We got the Spirit. We know the truth.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Believers and non-believers will be caught in the net. Mm-hmm. Believers and non-believers That's go right. to church. All right. Just some observations. The gospel is a tool for catching men's souls. We already talked about that. And fishermen are skilled. I mean, I can tell you how to do a Zepco, but I love that open face Mitchell. I knew how to fish. I knew how to get. I could cast. I know how to fish.
I like regular bait casting myself.
Absolutely.
You know that kind of round one.
Oh, yeah. I like the open face because that untangles my line a little bit better. All right. False doctrine can draw souls into the net as well.
Yeah.
False doctrine can draw people into the net as well. Problem is, they're going to be rejected. Don't be confused or whatever when you see growing numbers of false people before the revival, growing people chasing after false doctrine, liberalizing the gospel to a degree that, all right, just because
prosperity gospel.
Oh my goodness.
That's a good one.
You're going to see all stuff going. Just draw back. Oh, and don't be so conservative that you miss it too, because there are some traditions out there from our conservative traditions that may not have been rooted and founded in the truth in the first place. We just did it because mom did.
Yes.
Operate at level 4, get that Holy Ghost there. Open your eyes up to some things, okay? Here we go. All right. I'll probably talk about this next week. So I want to look at Psalm 78, but I'm going to do that later because it's a foreshadowing of the plan of God, and you'll see it in this. Well, I'll just tell you what it is right now, just for the heck of it. Psalm 78, if you look at Psalm 78, it's David talking about, I think it's David that wrote this particular psalm. And I don't know, somebody might want to turn to it or whatever. But if you read Psalm 78, somewhere within the first 10 verses, he describes a parable. He said, this is a parable of old. Anybody see that already?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you read that for me?
My people hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. Mm-hmm. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob.
Okay, we're good. All right, thank you. So he goes to Psalm 78, he talks about, I'm going to speak to the people in a dark parable. We already know what a parable is. It's something that's happening in the natural or whatever that describes the spiritual. He says, all generations need it. And so when you finish reading Psalm 78, you realize the parable that he's talking about there is the history of the children of Israel and how God delivered them and brought them through and how they just kept rebelling. He brings them through, he just keeps rebelling. Brings them through, keeps rebelling. And so I was having a conversation with one of my friends. It's like, it's interesting, because in Psalm 78, in Exodus 12, 38, 1 Corinthians 10 or whatever, it talks about that history. So in Psalm 78, if you keep reading that psalm, it just replays the history of Israel and their disobedience and how they would come back to the Lord, disobey. Come back to the Lord, disobey. I got a reference there of Exodus 12 and 38, which said, when they came out of Egypt, part of that parable, history, when they came out of Egypt, what is just Jews?
No.
It was a mixed multitude.
Mixed multitude of mixed folks.
One big net. Mm-hmm. When they got out in the wilderness, they started complaining. Ah, we ain't got no meat. We ain't got this. We ain't got that. All right? Who helped influence them? The mixed multitude. When the mixed multitude started complaining, they started complaining too. I want everybody in the net, but I don't want the net to influence me. I don't want the unclean stuff in the net to influence me. I want the net to influence me. I don't want the unclean. All right? And so we're looking at, and then 1 Corinthians 10, if you read that, and we might read it next week, but it's the New Testament version of the children of Israel coming out, and it says, you know, not all of them made it out.
No.
If somebody has that, read that for me, and then we'll kind of close off, and we'll pick up with the last parable next week. And then we'll pick up with, man, I figure out what we're going to be doing next. I think we're going to be doing the parable of the candle. All right, but who's got 1 Corinthians 10? And can read some of that.
For I do not want you to be ignorant of the facts, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ.
So, all of them received the gospel of Christ, even in the Old Testament. All right, keep going, Sue. Thank you.
Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert.
Okay. What else does it say? So judgment's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep reading 1 Corinthians 10, it'll tell you why. All right? So we're seeing this throughout the Old Testament. There's judgment. We're seeing it with Noah. There's judgment. Judgment's coming. But we really see it with the children of Israel coming out, because it wasn't just Israelites. The gospel was preached to a mixed multitude of people. But there was a separation, and you don't want that mixed multitude. You don't want the policies and doctrine of the mixed multitude to throw you off and keep you from trusting in what brought you out in the first place.
The next sentence says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did.
Oh! Can you read that one more time? Because that is the parable of the dragging in of the nets.
Now these things occurred as examples to us from setting our hearts on the evil things as they did.
So I got to make, and it goes all the way back to the first parable. Keep your mind in the good ground, not the thorny ground, or else you will be in the same ground outside the promised land that some of these other folks are in.
Then they go to and said he killed 23,000 because they didn't obey.
And that's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So whatever weeping and gnashing of teeth looks like in the future, I'm trying to keep my choppers. All right. So that's the parable. We'll do the parable of the householder next week, Jesus tarries. And any questions or comments before we go?